Blog Talk Radio.
This is Great Inferno. Thank you for tuning into my show. Today is Wednesday, March 11, 2009. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And lots to talk about today. First off, I've always wanted to do that, and I've always done that. I want to congratulate those who are having birthday today and also anniversaries. You know, if you're having birthday today, hey, happy birthday, and also happy anniversary to those who's having a wedding anniversary, whatever kind of anniversary that is, wedding, whatever, with your jobs, the Block Talk Radio yearly anniversary thing, but birthday is special, so here it is. Happy birthday. Oh, I just stopped right away because it's just, you know, kind of, I like to play those because it's on my nerves. So, I don't know. You decide. So, here in Wisconsin is actually pretty cold. Yeah, I got a witchy windshield. Well, you know, it's like up in the teens, but it feels like below zero. So right now in my cozy studio is about, I don't know, 77, 76 or something like that. It's pretty warm. I keep my studio warm. So so it's cozy and, you know, and it's not cold. You got that right. We are going to talk about... All right, this poll was done, I don't know who did this, but get this though. This is the poll that was done that who, you know, where is the happiest states in America, like in United States? Well, what do you know? Hawaii is ranked, well, the second, but the second to Utah. And followed by Wyoming, Colorado, and Minnesota. Those are the top five. And states like Michigan's and Ohio has landed in the bottom 10. My question is, where is Wisconsin? Well, Wisconsin is in number 24. They actually, the 24 for well-being, for all national, you know, index national rank on the happiest place and happiest states to live in. They came up 35 to 50. That means they're ranked number 35 in the life evaluation. 26 on work quality. Wow. Basics access. We're number 7 actually. It is in great old state of Wisconsin. And so read on. Healthy behavior, we're 25 out of 50. We're ranked 25. Physical health, 23. And get this, in emotional health, we're actually number 8. But overall, we're not even in the top 10. We're like in 24. So the results were based on a year-long random dial telephone surveys. I guess it was like 355,000 Americans. They said the sample size for each state varied widely, with 37,000 in California poll as versus in the 950 in North Dakota. Each was controlled and reflect population and demographics. So they try to tell you that this poll is basically nonsense. So they just came up with those numbers. But I don't know about you, but well, I agree with the healthy behavior with 25. I agree that we could be, you know, higher, maybe like in the 30s or something for healthy behavior. You know, I remember reading a poll way back in the day, or two, I would say 2 years ago. Actually, Wisconsin came up like maybe 36 or 37 in the healthiest state. And Minnesota's actually fell into a number 10. Again, you know, this poll is just, I don't know who's doing this, but Utah earned the highest marks. And residents there reported high level of satisfaction in several areas, actually, including work, environment, emotional health, and their local communities. One major factor, though, for Utah's strong performance must be its unemployment rate. When last reported in January, it was 4.6%, compared to a national rate of 7.6%. So, there you go. It's an unemployment rate. You know, I guess a lot of people are depressed, you know, when there's no job. There's no job in their state. And, you know, if no job, you have no money. You know, no money, you basically throw out everything out of the door, including your healthy, you know, and physical aspects of it. I mean, how are you going to get healthy if you can't, if you're not going to be able to buy, you know, selective or fruits and vegetables that you need, or, you know, supplement yourself? Nothing. You just, you know, you just buy whatever you can get your hands on, or whatever's the cheapest one. Or, and it goes, when that healthy and the physical goes down the drain, your emotional well-being goes down the drain. And so it starts from a work quality and having no money, and then everything goes down the drain from that. So your life evaluations actually goes, pretty much goes with it. So what it's, the money-wise, is that's that goes in a long way. A lot of people, you know, I've heard of this so many times. It's like money is root of all evil. Well, actually, you know, having no money, it's the root of all evil. I mean, I understand that there's a lot of people out there. There's bad and good people out there. You know, you give them money, and they're going to do whatever they want to, whatever, according to their, they decide, or, you know, what's in their heart. So, let me get the co-host on the line right now. Call 3797. You there? Okay, you are cut out. Okay, let's move on. And again, the Hawaii is ranked second. I think I would, you know, if it was me, I would put Hawaii. Actually, the first in line, number one. I mean, I strongly believe that, because, you know, the sceneries, you know, feeling that you're on vacation can actually suit your, you know, your well-being. But, again, the reason why the Hawaii is not second, is not first, because of the unemployment rate. You know, they have higher employment rate than Utah. So, again, unemployment, no money, and, you know, no fun. So, let's, again, he's trying to call again. Here's my co-host. Go ahead.
Hello. I didn't get to hear what you
okay.
were saying, but were you saying that?
You're echoing a little bit.
Okay, let me change. Let me go somewhere.
Okay, just do that. And
okay, all right. So were you saying that the happy places are where unemployment is good? Because I didn't hear the beginning.
Uh-uh.
I heard briefly, but then I had to go do something. And so, what were you saying?
I was saying that about Wisconsin is the rank number 24 for a place or state or happiest state in the nation.
Okay.
Rank number 24. And I went through, you know, I just mentioned about number one, Utah, for being number one. Hawaii for ranked second, and also that's Wyoming, Colorado, and Minnesota. West Virginia ranked the last, and the Michigan's excellent. Ohio also landed in the bottom eight, bottom ten. And I went through.
Where did Illinois rank?
I believe Illinois ranked like 30 something. Now the. This is the poll that was done, actually, MSNBC.com, you know, I should credit them, reading this article, and I thought it was worth, you know, a segment of a couple of minutes to talk about. Now, the wealth in Wisconsin, let's go to Wisconsin, because we're from Wisconsin, you know. The well-being is actually indexed in national rank, that is, you know, the overall well-being is, we're ranked number 24. Now, life evaluation, we're actually 35 out of 50, so that's pretty bad. Work qualities, 26. Basic access, we're actually bottom 10, which is number 7. We're 7th on the basic access. Healthy behavior, 25. Physical health, 23. And emotional health, we're actually number 8. So,
wow.
You know, as far as emotional health, number 8. I mean,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, to those who didn't, you know, to those like other states, like in the 37s or something like that, I mean, they have, the reason why I think this is based on pretty much like unemployment rate of the, state. It goes with Hawaii. Hawaii is actually, you know, has a higher unemployment rate than Utah. And the residents in Utah reported a high level of satisfaction in several areas, including work environment, emotional health, and local communities. And one major factor, it says over here, the strong performance might be its unemployment rate. Now, and I was just saying that, you know, no work, that means no money.
Uh-huh.
You know, no money, that means you're not going to be able to afford anything like, you know, healthy food or supplements,
right.
Yourself.
Yeah.
And it goes down the drain of physical health and then your basic access and emotional health, and then goes overall to life evaluation and well-being.
Yeah.
So it starts from what? Not having money. Not even having a job. Do you agree or disagree?
Well,
and it doesn't mention anything.
I disagree.
Well, it doesn't mention. Also, I want to point out is also doesn't add the spiritual well-being.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
So who knows?
Right.
Maybe
yep.
There's a lot of atheists in, you know, in West Virginia. Well, go ahead. Why do you disagree?
Oh well, that one is also what I was gonna thinking of about. Spiritual well-being, like what people are doing, you know. And then also, I was going to say that, like, I don't think that unemployment has to do with it, you know, because, like, first of all, like, with the spiritual, you need to be content.
Mm-hmm.
To a certain point, you need to be content with what you have. However, it does not mean that you shouldn't look for a job or look for another way to make money. Like, have they looked into an unfranchised business and, you know, try to move out of the area or try to help other people in the area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they need to be looking for not just a job, but something that will give them residual income.
Mm. Makes sense. And also there's maybe because of the, you know, the uneducated rate. I don't think that's a factor, but, you know, a lot of, again, this poll is done based on, you know, based on a year-long random dial telephone survey of between 355,000 Americans. The sample size for, you know, like I said earlier, each state varied widely from, like, 37,000 Californians polled versus the 950 in North Dakota, so it varies per state. So I don't know how many people
Oh, yeah.
They surveyed here in Wisconsin.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, this is basically telling, you know, by giving us the numbers on each, you know, control and reflecting the population and demographics, actually, they're basically telling us this poll is nonsense.
Yeah, and they're trying to, like, link, like, money to happiness. And, you know, you need to,
if you think of it, that's what it is. I mean, how are you going to afford a healthy lifestyle if you can't afford it?
Did you know that statistics say it's like, I don't know, like $7 a meal for each person to eat healthy, like healthy?
Well, that's like
expensive.
More than...
Like,
yeah,
that's
well,
why
not
love
really.
Pork.
How much is a burger, actually? Like, not McDonald's is actually $5 or something like that, but if you go to, like, a restaurant, you know, how much
like
is a burger?
$10.
Like $10. Average of $10.
Exactly, and that's not, some people won't call that healthy, but I was going to say, too, like, that's why a lot of poor people are fat, because, you know, fruit is, sometimes you can get a good deal on fruit, but some, you know, depending on the pesticides put on the fruit, is it really nutritional for you, you know? And, like,
right.
So if you get the organic fruit, it does add up, and that's why a lot of people, they go buy donuts that they can get, like, 12, you know, donuts for like $2.99 versus buying like 12 oranges for like, you know, $4.99. They're like,
right.
Which one do I get more food from? And they don't really like weigh in like what keeps you full longer, you know, and things like that. You need to look for healthy food because the right kind of healthy food will help you feel fuller longer and you won't need so much of it compared to the other. But yeah, that's, I heard research done on that. I did research on that about how it's expensive to eat healthy. But not expensive for our family to eat healthy.
Talking about this, I want to, you know, I titled this show, Let's Go Back to the Future. What I want to do is actually, what do you think? I don't want to say prophesied, but let's talk about what do you think we're heading in the future if it comes to just the overall, well-being and healthy lifestyle of the Americans?
I think that you're
going
to have
two kinds. 25 years down the road or in the future. Let's go back to the future. And what do you think the emotional and, you know, I mean, just the overall well-being?
I think that very few people will be eating things like donuts because they'll learn about the health and nutrition and the doctors will become well-informed and that they'll be able to inform their patients properly of good nutrition. I think that juicers are going to be juicers and multivitamins and are going to be, like, become very popular because they're going to want to get all the nutrition that they can out of the fruit.
Do you think the vitamins will be easy to be absorbed in the future?
I think that there's going to be some scientists actually trying to discover a way to get fruit to grow all seasons, no matter where you live. And there may be even scientists right now, like, you know.
Yeah, they can do that now.
It's
like a big greenhouse. Like, they have a big greenhouse now. Yeah.
And I think that people are going to start doing that, you know. And, I mean, like, right now, even the health and wellness, you know, is industry is in the trillions, I think. I mean, we were listening to Paul Zane Pilzer about Wake Up. I think it's called Wake Up or something, or Make Your Move,
$1 trillion.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, the wellness industry is really growing, and I don't remember how much the pharmaceutical companies make right now, but if it's more than the wellness, but the wellness is getting up there, you know, so I think people are, like, becoming more informed, and they want to live longer, and they're going to be
You know why? Because they talk about this baby boomer, they're going to paving the way. I mean, they are looking for, you know, ways to stay younger, ways to stay healthy. And I think, you know, Generation Xers and the following generation is actually going to learn a lot of stuff from the baby boomers.
I think that they're going to see that there's, I don't know, baby boomers, would that be 50 years old and stuff?
Something like that. They're old.
Yeah, because, like, there's, like, a lot of 50 years old, like, you know, have a lot of problems and are on a lot of pharmaceuticals. I mean, pharmaceuticals, and they, you know, take one drug, they have side effects. Then a lot of times you have to take another drug, and I think that those people, the youngsters, like in the 20 years old and maybe even younger, they look at those people and they're like, I feel so sorry for them. They take so many things, and they're so, like, the people, you know, they're not healthy, and they're going to learn from that. I think, Lord willing, they're going to learn. Lord willing, they're going to learn from that, and they're going to say, you know what? I don't want to end up like that person. I want to try to prevent this, and they're going to take preventative. Herbal medicine, you know, preventative. There's a lot of research done out there. My website, shopinsuperhighway.com, we have a lot of things, a lot of scientific studies on our products done. So our listeners can look into that if they want to.
Okay. So the future, let's go back to about 25 years in the future. So every, you know, you're saying is maybe the death rate, emotional stress, unemployment rate, should all these be? Do you think that will decline? I mean, it's
pretty much
will be fluctuate and stay the same.
I really don't know. I don't know what to say about that. I do have something to say about spiritually.
Go ahead.
Actually, I don't know if it's a statement or a question, but it's kind of like. In the Bible, it says that the end times is going to get worse. Do you remember reading in the Bible about, do you think there's going to be like a revival, like at the end of time? Like, do you think there's going to be like a revival right before Jesus comes back?
Well, it says it in Revelation.
It says there's going to be revival, or does it say it's going to keep getting worse till he comes back?
Well, it's again, there's 7 years, according to the Bible, that, you know, after the rapture, and there's like, you know, this is 7 years before he comes back. I mean, I don't know if it's what you want to call that revival, but, you know.
I think revival would be where a lot of people are seeking the Lord, because
they will be given a second chance. That's what, you know, another second chance. But let's, all right, what I want to do right now is actually, you know, if that's Christianity, if you want to talk about Christianity. I don't know if you know Sean Hannity from Fox News. He's a conservative talker or a host. And actually, he's like, I'm reading this thing, the article about he suggested Christianity is compatible with torture. I'm going to read an article over here. This is the article from rawstory.com. Okay, and it says Fox News, Sean Hannity doesn't let his religion get in the way for his support of the controversial anti-terror tactic, which is like what the, tortures and stuff like that they do in the camp. So Hannity had the Meghan McCain on his show to talk about the court filing by 9/11 defendants detained at the Guantanamo Bay. So the group of detainees had admitted that they were terrorists to the bone. So they, you know, yeah. I'm a terrorist. I'm gonna, you know, when I get out of here, I'm gonna kill all the Americans. I'm gonna kill you. So that's basically all these terrorists do. So they declare, and Hannity quoted this: they declared war on us, and we're fighting a war. And we know there's about 60 some odd detainees that have gone back to the battlefield. Yes, you know that's true, actually. And he continues that why, for the first time ever, would we give rights to enemy combatants? So, and. Meghan McCain actually seems to agree with him, and she quoted that, what competent person thinks this is a good idea? Literally, when I think of my brother and his people and his platoon, the people I know over there fighting for this, so we can let them go so they can attack us again. It's insane, she said. Hannity then moved on to the subject of torture. Now, this is where, you know, all the liberals liberal fanatics and terrorist sympathizers out there, and he's trying to nail him for this. And he says, "Do you disagree with your dad, which is John McCain of Meghan McCain?" And he said, "All about enhanced interrogation." So, and John McCain has been a vocal about his opposition to torture. So he, you know, John McCain opposed to that. So before allowing McCain to answer, Hannity went on a mini diatribe and suggested that his religion beliefs wouldn't prevent him from supporting an anti-terror tactic almost universally considered to be torture. Now he is saying that, you know, Christians, you know, he quotes us, because my attitude is that if we capture an enemy combatant in a battlefield, or we can use Osama bin Laden, for example, who may have information about a pending attack. You know what? I don't have any problem taking, he says, taking him underwater and scaring the living daylights out of him and making him think we're drowning him. That's what he said. And he said, I'm a Christian. Now, I know that's not all the Christians. You don't want to get generalized to Christians here. As a Christian yourself, do you agree or disagree with this, the way he portrayed this, the way he said it, or the way he, you know.
I'm sorry, can you read the last couple of sentences that you just
do you agree with him or not?
About it's okay to
right,
is it waterboarding?
Yeah, some sort of interrogation tactics. Or enhanced interrogation, that's what they say. I mean, do you want to do that? Or do you want to do that to terrorists? Or do you want to serve them pancakes and eggs and whatever? If you're trying to extract, let's say they captured, you know, like secondhand bin Laden, they want to know where bin Laden is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that or disagree? But yes or no?
No. It's not biblical.
It's not biblical
at
what?
Degree. Huh? To torture people?
Well, of course not.
To get information? Because like it says, I believe that I was thinking about this actually today before your program. I was thinking about how our justice system, they give like food to the criminals and everything like that. We're supporting it. There must be some reason behind where that started. Like, In the Bible, it says to give your enemy water. If your enemy is hungry, give it food. Give them food, and you'll be heaping up coals onto their head. And I think so. They would have to know why you're doing it. You know, like that you're a Christian, why you're doing that. Otherwise, you know, if the law is the law and you're allowed to do it, then that's the law.
I think the question is the law. I mean, yeah,
right.
The law is the law. But
You still should have morality in the law, because there's some laws out there that just because the law says you can do it, like abortion, does not make it right. So I guess the same thing with that, because the law says that you
can. I'll give you a good story.
Okay. Huh.
A good story about that is actually, remember when they caught that some terrorists in UK or plotted attack in UK. I think they caught it in Pakistan or in India, somewhere in there. But anyway, they got information out of those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the next attack in UK. I mean,
how did they do that?
Well, not for seven pancake, I tell you.
So do you agree with it or disagree with it?
They prevented. I actually agree. I mean, I agree with this. You know, I mean, I think we should, you know, we are at war, you know, we're not and we are at war with them. You know, I think they should be able to give those who are responsible, not the irresponsible ones, you know, to be able to use that tools and enhance interrogations,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the enemies will use that against us.
Right.
That's the weakness. If you do that, might as well give him your head in a silver platter. Now,
yeah.
And also there's a thin line on here, because he said, this is what he was wrong, okay? He said, after he said that, I am a Christian. You know, he said that I don't have any problem taking his head, sticking it in underwater, and scaring the living daylights out of him, and making him think we're drowning him. You know, those are like the waterboarding referring to.
So you stick their head under the water, waterboarding.
No, they actually have put him upside down. So, and they put a towel on him. So, and declared Hannity, and he said, I'm a Christian. Now, Christian is like, what does it mean? Christ-like, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, Christ-like. I mean, what do you think would? That's the first thing you got to do. You got to think, and what would Jesus do?
Well, Jesus gave his life in order to save people. So I mean,
well,
yeah.
You're not
going
to be able to. You're not. If you do that, let's say, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm a Christian-like, and some Christian says, yeah, what would Jesus do? I'm going to do what would Jesus do, give us his life. No, that means you are claiming you're a second Christ.
What?
I mean, you're claiming you're a second Christ when you do that.
No, but you have to be Christ-like. You have to follow his example.
Follow his example,
right?
And what would you do?
His example.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you have to give up your life. Would you give up your life? Because of Jesus.
Well, I think it's biblical.
Because Jesus already did that. You don't have to do that.
Well, yeah, we're not giving up our life to save people, but we're. Hello.
Yeah.
So I think that just like. It's biblical to flee from your enemy. But
uh-huh.
I think that you need to set an example. What would you say is biblical to treat your enemies to get information from them? What do you think they should do?
I think, again, they should give those who are responsible to, you know, in who are in position to do that. Like, you know, the CIA or the, you know, the FBI and all that. I am in no position to be giving those terrorists the waterboarding. Let's say
I
would... Right.
But you can defend yourself from them, like lock them
but
up.
I don't think I would have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, like locking them up. Like, for instance, like, say somebody broke into the house. Hopefully that will never happen. But say somebody did, and you're here, and we're all here, you know, or like, you know, your wife and kids home. You still there?
Yeah,
cool.
Okay,
because I keep hearing something. So say your wife and your children's home and your home, and, you know, an enemy came in trying to break in the house. Well, you have a right to defend yourself. Doesn't mean you need to waterboard them. Tell them who's with you, you know. You know what I mean?
Well, you're not in a position to be doing that. Let's say you caught him, and you caught him, and then you have him tied up in a chair, and you start waterboarding him. No, that's you breaking a law there. So again, you're not in position to be doing that. So I'm saying that if I'm in a position, let's say if I'm a CIA, I'm giving, you know, an oath or, you know, to do whatever it takes to protect my country, to protect my, you know.
Lock them up and put them far away. Isn't that why they put them in Guantanamo Bay? Isn't that far away? I don't know. I don't even know. I'm not really a geographical person.
They're going to be closing that down.
Yeah, I know. But they shouldn't do that. They should keep them, like, on Alcatraz Island or something like that. They shouldn't let them.
Alcatraz Island is actually in California.
Well, yeah,
I know. This is U.S. soil.
So, but my point is that, like, I would just say that they should lock them up and they shouldn't let them out. That's what I would say. And, no,
well, you're gonna
to serve them pancakes and eggs, but you can serve them,
like,
I don't know, bread and water, like they used to do in the old days. You know, if they want some fish, go fish in the ocean, you know, by Alcatraz or wherever they're going to be. They can catch their own fish, you know. I mean, make them work for their food. Make them grow their food, you know. That's what I would suggest.
Right.
I mean, buy them some seeds. I don't think buying them some tomato plant seeds is going to be very expensive, you know. That's what I would say. Like, and then they have something they have to work, you know, rather than sitting there and making fun of America. That's
exactly. Now let's get Pinto in here right real quick. You there, Pinto?
I am here, my friend. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Looks like you're using your computer, aren't you?
Yes. I'm just now learning to use it. Excuse me, I'll spit it out. I'm just now learning how to use this new invention called a computer.
Really? How's that working out?
Nah, it's good, man. It's good.
Good.
I'm tired of all the calls cutting in and on out on my cell phone. It got a little nerve-wracking. and a bit tiresome. Let me tell you something.
So how was your show? How did it go?
Awful. I watched it ahead of time. Wasn't a big fan.
Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
Good. It's always good to hear that. Now, we're talking about, I don't know, we got sidetracked over here because we were talking about from, what were we talking about?
We were talking about the unemployment rate, and then I asked you about spiritually, do you think there's going to be revival in the end times? And then you said,
oh, okay, yeah. And then when I jumped into what Hannity has said, that that he's comparing, or, you know, he said that Christianity is compatible with torture, and actually he said Christianity is okay with torture. And, you know, I was just saying that, you know, he's kind of generalizing Christians, because I can guarantee you that not all Christians are okay with that. Do you agree with that, Pinto?
I really don't condone torture in any sense of the word. I mean, that doesn't get anybody anywhere. You know, you have this hardened criminal in a cell, and you need to get information out of him. You just torture, if you torture him or you hurt him any more than he probably already is, that's just going to put up the reference exterior. You know what I mean? He's going to be more resolved and standing firm and not helping you out.
Well, exactly. Well, especially with those people that you're dealing with. You know, you're talking about terrorists ready to die and ready to, you know, give their life for the sake of their, you know, ideology. Now, if you're thinking about Christian, you know, Christian-like, you know, let's go to John McCain. He was tortured. You know, I mean, he can't even, you know, put his arm up because, you know, it was broken severely. And now that's the difference perspective. Now, he is against torture also. I am against torture. You know, torturing to the point that it's, you know, that they're almost dead. But there's actually tactics out there that you can, like, really, you know, like, they use what they call enhanced interrogation, and it's that including even, you know, not limited to playing a jazz music or Michael Bolton.
Oh my God, that'd be torture hearing Michael Bolton.
To those who are in, you know, in captivity, like captive. Yeah, that's the, you know, or scaring them to, you know, to drown them, or, you know, that's, I read all something like that, but it was not actually breaking their arms and plucking their nails like they do it back in the day. Yeah, I'm against that, but there's actually enhanced interrogation that we should do. That's what I agree.
Oh, man, every time I hear when a man loves a woman, I have nightmares. You know, that's real torture there.
Oh, man,
I'll tell you anything. No more.
You know, here. That's funny, but yeah. So I agree with it. Don was saying that too. That with the interrogation, the harsh interrogation, just they should be put. You know, they should be put to jail. To those who have been, you know, those who's given those.
Right.
But
I think they
should
make them grow their own food too, instead of paying for their food.
Yeah, there we go. What do you think about that, Pinto? Like, get those terrorists, like, to work for their food.
They got to grow their own food instead of pay for
yeah,
it?
Put them on the farm, yeah, put them on the farm, you know. Get their own, like, sheep and goats and chickens.
you laugh, but maybe that's not a bad idea, you know. And it's a lot harder to grow food than it actually is to buy it.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, exactly.
Maybe you're onto something there.
Yeah, maybe we write the letter to the president.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'll tell you why.
Well, good ideas usually don't happen.
Right. The good ideas usually don't happen. That's a good idea, but you're going to have, like, you know, Democrats and liberals and activists going to be out there, you know, throwing some, you know, some rules and, you know, about slavery.
Right.
Slavery?
You know,
they're the one that did the crime.
Well, again, they're not, you know, if they're
that.
Held in, well, some of those are held in court and not proven. They're not even sentenced yet. So,
well,
in the meantime,
food.
we have to pay for them. You know,
they
yeah,
get
we should.
The food first.
No, you know what I have to do? What is a good idea? You know, what's a good idea? It's probably just serve them, like, you know, burgers and fries.
Just constant burgers and fries.
There you go. So they
that's
get all fat.
Gotta...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get all fat and and heavy and stuff, and walk and let them walk down the stairs.
Yep. that would be an ideal for torture.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to say torture. So you don't want to take the word torture out of there. You want to say enhanced interrogation. The enhanced interrogation there. So you want to get that torture out.
Yeah.
I eat out a lot, man. Guess I'm torturing myself.
But you enjoyed being tortured, can you tell?
Can't really talk about masochism now. I don't enjoy pain.
What about them whips and handcuffs I sent you?
Oh, let's not go there now.
Right. So now let's change the subject over here so we can get going here.
Please.
Now, please do. No, let's talk about there's an article earlier about a guy who was wrongly accused of being raped and was put to jail or prison for 11 years, and the lady actually sent him to jail, you know, for rape and wrongly accused him out of the, you know, the line, out of the what do you call that? I'm losing my notes here. So go back here. There you go. So for 11 years. There's a woman from North Carolina, and she thought that she had put a man who raped her and put her in prison for life. And for 11 years, the man endured an endless days of confinement, praying that someday, I don't know if he did, but he says praying that someday somehow his innocence would be proved.
Good.
And what do you know? Today, they're actually best friends. So, in fact, they're reading a book together called Picking Cotton. Well, the guy's, you know, a black man, and the lady was like a white woman, so I don't know why they named him Picking Cotton. I think it's just a coincidence. A memoir of injustice and redemption, that's what it says. And sometimes they also travel, you know, together. He even talked about the ways memory can deceive us. And they are working to change the way police conduct photo lineups, because they screwed up big time on that one.
Right.
And, they even shared a couch on one of the Today Show, and they told that one of the co-hosts on the Today Show, you know, they tell about the pain and redemptions and the tricks that memory can play on people with the best intention. Let me go with you, Pinto, real quick. I mean, let's say you were accused and you were put in jail for 11 years, and now he goes, oh, yeah, you're out, Pinto. What would you do?
What would my reaction be after 11 years?
What would you be your reaction, the first reaction? Like, oh, sweet. I get to get out.
honestly, I would probably... first I would say, pinch me. Is this happening? Is this for real? You're kidding me, aren't you?
You would climb up the clock tower.
I would, yeah. I'd be ecstatic. I would be ecstatic. If I was given a sentence of life, and then 11 years later, I'm free to go,
yeah.
I would be ecstatic, to be quite honest. That's how I would be.
Okay. Well, would you be, like, mad or, you know, holding... like, you know, anger or anything like towards the lady, towards the accuser?
You know what? No, life's too short to hold a grudge. So, no, I'd go on with my life.
Interesting. So get some pancakes and burgers and fatten yourself.
That's right.
What about you, Dawn?
On to McDonald's.
Go to McDonald's. There you go.
That's right.
What about you, Dawn? I know, you know, with your Christian perspective, what would you do? Would you write a book with this person? I mean, let's say you're accused.
Oh, if I was accused?
Yeah, if you were accused.
Like,
I would,
that would be answers to prayer, first of all,
mm-hmm.
being able to be set free. And if the person, you know, is sorry and that, you know, or just tell them, you know, even if they're not sorry, say that, you know,
exactly.
go into
I think
them
that would be
and
answer.
Tell them that you forgive them. Yep. So just let them know.
Let them know
that you forgive them, and then, you know, I would let them know I forgive them and move forward because if they want to write a book with me, so be it, you know, because, I mean, life is too short, and Jesus says to forgive people, and when you forgive people, even if they hurt you, there's, like, really, like, a freedom and a peace in that, so yeah.
Yeah, what about the accuser? I mean, the article saying that she could not... you know, believe that she just wasted 11 years of a man, you know, by accusing him wrongly. I mean, Would you feel bad? I mean, is he entitled for any compensation for those 11 years?
Well, I mean, what can they do? I mean, you know, give him. I don't think money would be the answer. You know, I mean,
well,
if
money's
like
always the answer.
Family, no, if a family was destroyed over it.
That's right. You know, I'd be like, hey, 11 years. That's like 1 million per year. So that's like 11 years.
No. I think that you know, the family.
Okay, 500,000.
All right. Well, we'll cut it down. Half a million.
Go to the family and apologize to the family too. That's what my suggestion for the lady would be: apologize to the family and pray for the Lord to restore unto them. You know,
right,
what was lost. So that's it. I mean, I don't really think that, because if I was the accused, I would be no different than those people suing people for money. You
right.
know what I mean? All
but
I would want
I guess
is
the
for,
thing, though,
it,
I he is, you know, I strongly believe that he's entitled for any compensation. Let's go with Joe Pinto real quick. Let's say you were, you know, hypothetically, you were raped, you know, and you accused a lady. 11 years later, she's out. He's saying, hey, well.
Okay, I got the character.
I don't know how I put that. Okay. So hypothetically, let's say, you know, 11 years from now, why would you first react and say, hey, you know that that lady or that person that you put on jail for 11 years now she's going to be out? And you're like, oh, what? So what was your first reaction? What would you do?
What would I do if the person who raped me is out of jail? I would be scared. You know, honestly, serious answer. If I had just gotten raped, I might be a little frightened and maybe move.
Okay.
I would just move to another city, another state.
Closer?
Yeah, move closer. Move next door. Move in, even.
Okay.
Want a new roomie?
Right. You want a bunk bed?
It'd be a bunk mate.
So that's what we do. I mean, the first thing I would do, totally, you know, I would freak out. I'm like, oh my gosh, why is he? You know, I want to know the details. Why he, you know, why is she getting out? Why is he's getting out? You know,
right.
and from that, you know, I don't know how the story went, but I think, you know, they got to hold each other and talk and say, hey, you know, the things happen, I forgive you. And let's go write a book together, you know, alone, dark.
As long as I get the lion's share of the money.
That's right. You know, I
get 99%, you get a penny. That's the lion's share in my book.
Right? I'm the one who got raped, so.
That's right.
Know.
You get money for bus
fare.
But
he was found innocent, though, after 11 years, right? So it's not one who raped her that, you know, so it's not like she, she's not in danger, but.
I think that doesn't take away the fact that she was raped, you know.
Huh?
I mean, and just because he's the one who didn't do it, you know, he's innocent, but he's not the one that did it. It doesn't mean, you know, she didn't get raped, you know what I mean? I mean, she did get raped.
Right. Right.
Actually, the real kill, the real suspect actually is actually still in jail, and serving life in prison. That's what's going on. So, let's go into. So I want to go jump back to into the first segment that we have, where we're talking about the rank of the states. You know, the happiest state to live in. Or to move into, or to buy a house or whatever. Actually, number 24, Wisconsin is number 24, and Illinois is number 37. Now, why is that, Pinto? You're from Illinois.
Yeah. Why are we so low?
Yeah, because Hawaii is the ranked number two, and surprisingly, Utah is ranked number one. And that's followed by Wyoming, Colorado, Minnesota, West Virginia is the last, Michigan, Ohio. That's like in the Midwest.
Well, so these are the most expensive to move into?
Not the most expensive. It's more kind of a, like, happiest place to live.
Oh, the happiest place to live. Oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay. I can tell you why Illinois is very unhappy, because it's almost full of corruption. Anywhere you look, somebody's breaking the law.
Exactly.
Sad.
Exactly.
It's depressing. You got Governor Rajo, the slumdog millionaires, Rod Blagojevich. I had to snatch that joke. That was actually told by someone else. I thought it was. I had to use it again. It was funny. I mean, come on, the guy's a slime ball. But
right. Exactly. I agree with you, Pinto, because I think it has, like I was telling Don earlier, that has something to do with money. I mean, why would Blagojevich, you know, do such a thing, you know, if it's not for money? You know what I mean? No, that goes back. It goes with the with emotional and physical and healthy well-being and also the life evaluation and all aspects. Now, because they have no, and it has something to do with higher unemployment rate. You know, being that Utah is actually, it has a 4.6% compared to the national rate of 7.6%. I think Wisconsin and Illinois is somewhere on there in 6-7%. So no job, no money, can't take care of yourself. You can't be happy. You can't do anything. So it has something to do with money. And
oh, yeah.
I believe
that's going to spell happy as a clam.
Right, and corruptions, and, you know, doing drugs. Just like when you don't want people, I hate when people say something about money is all the root of all evil. That's like, not having money is the root of all evil, you know.
Exactly. If you have no money to your name, there's probably nothing you won't do to survive.
Exactly. Even just like, I mean, I'm don't get me wrong. There's people, the rich people out there. They should not be rich. You know, I'm not saying that all the rich people and all the people that has money are good people. And just, you know what I mean? It's just like good people and bad people are everywhere. Just like bad cop, you know, bad cop,
right.
Good cop.
I just think when you say that the not having money is the root of all evil, do you mean like not having, like you don't have a penny to your name, or do you mean that you don't have
that means that everybody's hard for like an individual to, you know, pay the bills. They're gonna lose their house. They're gonna lose their car. You know, it's, you know, hard for them to put food on the table, and you know, they're gonna have to do something. Like, you know, the majority of people are robbing a bank. You know why they're robbing a bank? Because they can't get a job. Because they, you know, they didn't come up with money.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I kind of disagree with that. What you said.
Why would you disagree with that? Look at it.
Because we were, I mean, well, my husband and I and our family, we just had a baby like 4 years ago, and we were like, that whole year, we were 8 months behind in our mortgage. We didn't lose our house, but, you know, we prayed to God for help, and my husband's dad died. He had to go to the Philippines by himself, and we wanted to go with him. It was hard for all of us, but Lord worked it into good, and at the same time, my dad was dying in the hospital. Lord healed them, though, several months
later. Well,
like,
did he rob a bank?
No, but maybe we're tempted to, but we know that's not the answer because God don't want us to, you know. And
well,
like,
okay. I know where you're going with this, but I'm just saying
hold on.
You know, it's, there's a small percentage of people that,
but
you know, there's...
Is my husband, sorry for interrupting, but I just wanted, my husband, he wanted a way, so he prayed for God to show him a way to be with us more and for us to be able to pay our bills. And then somebody, he decided to purchase an on-franchise business. Now, that didn't, like, that money that we made that year, I mean, it was enough to get by, to get him to work, even though he didn't work many hours that year. You know, it was what we needed to get by that way. And the Lord provided food for us and things like that. So that was just what I was going to say. So I was just going to say it's a spiritual perspective, and also, you know, you got to look for alternatives of how to make money. You can't rely on a job all the time.
Yeah, well, your husband is a very wise man, and I think
I propose an idea. And another way to make money. Traveling circus. You'll make millions.
Traveling. Do you think so?
Dun, 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 dun. Boom, boom. But anyway, let's move on to this.
So juvenile, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that is so, man. That's so childish. Speaking of childish, now, I don't know, I don't know about you, but Bridge is coming up with this, you know, I think they're, you know what I don't like about this, you know, it's like in British. I am British in England. But anyway, they come up with this online etiquette. All right. They're saying a social networking sites such as, you know, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and all that stuff can seem like a wild west. That's what they say. Yeah, wild west. I was like, what? So basically anything goes. But even with the access on, to everything on the web nowadays and the rules you want to learn in the playground still apply. So they're referring to, like, you know, the behavioral things on the website, like chat rooms and poking each other on Facebook and stuff like that. They quote, "There has been a major cultural shift in the way we communicate and document ourselves, social lives in recent years, but we have not been taught digital or online manners," says this guy named a lady, Joe Bryant. She's an advisor for a UK-based etiquette authority, which added the section of social networking etiquette that you can find from A to Z of modern manners in early 2008. She said, number one rule, treat others with kindness and respect. For more complicated situations, you can find that GAT, Google it, or whatever, for a digital citizen, how to be good, you know, how to whatever online, and some more information, I don't know. Google it. Oh, man, I just farted. Excuse me.
And I'm childish.
Yeah, I know. I just farted. Excuse me. Now let's go to Pinto real quick. I know, I mean, you know, with this social networking thing, when I'm typing and stuff like that, I'm trying to be professional and stuff, and I'm scratching my butt and picking my nose. I mean, they really know that? They didn't really. Unless I'm, like, typing and said, hey, right now I'm just, like, digging in, you know. I mean, they don't. I think it's, when I'm talking to friends, you know, I can talk to my friends, but when I'm talking to colleagues, like, you know, like professional, like, you know what I mean, like business owner, customers and stuff like that. We're talking about toilets or immersion and stuff like that. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I do. You know.
What are you doing right now?
What am I? Honestly, I'm just sitting here with just talking to you.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, I'm not doing anything.
I hear some scratching.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. Got to dig a creeper out here.
A creeper.
A creeper.
So let's go back with you. Let's go with you, Don. They're all applies and online and offline. I mean, come on, are they being ridiculous?
I don't know. Like, are they referring to, like, when you text message, how you just, like, you know, spell tomorrow T? I mean,
They're talking about you know, if you go into chat room, you know, people don't want to hear talking about how big your, you know, the Lincoln Logs you had to drop in the toilet,
yeah.
You know?
I don't really think you should be talking like that anyway unless you're married to the person. Or, you know, maybe guys think differently, but I don't think I'd be like, you know how big my stuff was today?
You don't want to talk about that. So, I mean, sometimes I updated my status one time and I said, you know, I'm dropping the kids off to the pool. I mean, you know, that's...
Oh,
people
me.
Don't.
Wait, I've heard that used in another manner.
Like what? You know, like I'm blessing roses.
You're blessing oranges? Is that what you just said?
No, it's like, what the heck is blessing oranges? No, planting roses.
Planting roses.
Sometimes
like
I...
Going poop
yeah.
or something. Yeah, and
well,
like...
You don't want to say that. Take a dookie. That's even worse. Dookie, you can't say that. See, when I'm, like, updating my status, what are you doing right now? So you got to come up with some, like, ways to just, you know, substitute the dookie with other stuff, you know, like
sure.
I said, planting roses or dropping coins into the wishing well, you know, stuff like that. So,
squeezing one out.
Yeah. Squeezing. Burping the worms.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, well, do you have any other ways to, like, I mean, to update your status on when it comes to, like, warning, you know, giving them etiquette warning?
In a polite way, I even say this
in a polite way.
You know, in a polite way, this is what I say, like, if I have to use the bathroom. I'm using the little boys' room. That's it. That's how I put it, in a polite way.
They don't even want that. They don't even want that?
No, this is all ridiculous. For shame, mister.
They said it's I don't know. I mean, the British, they make me laugh sometimes.
I think I would just say, I'll be back in 5 minutes. They don't even know where I'm going.
Well, yeah.
They don't know when I'll be back.
Oh,
you know, like, maybe I got to go outside
and
do something.
Right.
What'd you say?
I have a newspaper and a Lysol can. Need I say more?
All right. We're actually landing for an hour. Man, jeez. I didn't notice it was gone. So we are going to say bye-bye. So thanks for stopping up, Pinto, next time again.
No
thanks
problem.
For Dawn. Hey, next segment, I'm going to play golf while wearing anything but play golf outfit. See you later. Bye-bye now.
All right.